Thank you, Linda J. Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to Communication Workers of America, CWA Human Rights, Our Power, a justice-filled hour of talk, solidarity, and worker power right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you are visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us home with you on KYOKradio.org. You can listen and subscribe to us every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on KYOKradio.org or your CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power. Thank you for joining us on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show this morning. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreement, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal show lineup with Makia Jones, Sir Reginald Small. He's traveling somewhere in the world today. Timmy O'Wiley and Tay Atkins today. So don't you dare change that dial. We're going to bring that Union Buster back up this week. We're going to be talking about the International Day of Happiness, reclaiming rest, reclaiming joy with Makia Jones. Casualties of war versus collateral damage, how the current administration targeted labor, human and civil rights. Women's rights in focus with that tea with Tay, where we will spill the truth, not just the tea. And then we're also going to be talking about the Justice Watch, CWA Our Power Radio show, Justice Watch. Prominent Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil remains in an ICE detention facility in Louisiana. Our union voices are ringing in every district, from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 26 months, striking on the picket lines. And yet, while they are striking, they are still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. And once you have subscribed to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate? And I just heard someone shout, "When we fight, we win." That is correct. Dr. Hazel Nell Dukes was a prominent civil rights activist and leader within the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP. Her lifelong dedication to social justice and equality left an indelible mark on the civil rights movement in the United States. Born in Montgomery, Alabama, Ms. Dukes was the only child of Alice and Edward Dukes. Her father worked as a Pullman porter, a position that provided the family with relative stability during a time of widespread racial discrimination. In 1949, Dukes enrolled at Alabama State Teachers College with aspirations of becoming an educator. However, in 1955, she relocated with her parents to New York City, where she shifted her academic focus to business administration, attending Nassau Community College. She later earned a bachelor's degree in business administration from Adelphi University in 1978 and pursued postgraduate studies at Queens College. Dukes was also awarded honorary doctorate degrees from institutions including the City University of New York Law School at Queens College, Medgar Evers College, and Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dukes' career was characterized by her unwavering commitment to civil rights and social justice. While residing in Roslyn, Long Island, she actively combated housing discrimination. In the 1960s, she contributed to President Lyndon B. Johnson's Head Start program, aimed to provide early childhood education to underprivileged children. In 1966, she broke racial barriers by joining the Nassau County Attorney's Office as the first Black American employee. Her role as a community organizer for the Economic Opportunity Commission of Nassau County further showcased her dedication to uplifting marginalized communities. Dukes' involvement with the NAACP began in the 1960s, and she quickly rose through the ranks due to her dedication and leadership skills. She served as the president of the NAACP New York State Conference from 1977 until her death in 2025, making significant strides in education reform and civil rights advocacy. From 1989 to 1992, she held the position of national president of the NAACP, becoming one of the few women to lead the organization. In 1990, Dukes was appointed president of the New York City Off-Track Betting Corporation, becoming the first Black American woman to lead the organization. However, her tenure faced challenges, and in 1997, she pleaded guilty to attempted grand larceny, admitting to misappropriating $13,000 from disabled NYCOTB employee credit union account. Despite this setback, Dukes continued her advocacy work, demonstrating resilience and an enduring commitment to civil rights. Throughout her life, Dukes received numerous accolades for her contributions to civil rights and social justice. In 1990, she was honored with the Cadence Award for Community Servants from the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. The Women's Black Agenda presented her with its Economic and Business Award in 2017. And in 2023, she received the NAACP's highest honor, the Spingarn Medal, presented by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. These awards underscored her relentless pursuit of equality and her impact on countless lives. Dukes' influence extended beyond the NAACP. She played a pivotal role in promoting African-American women to prominent political positions and was instrumental in advocating for the selection of a Black woman as the vice presidential candidate in the 2020 election. Her efforts contributed to the broader representation of Black Americans in political leadership roles. Dr. Hazel Nell Dukes passed away peacefully at her home in New York City on March 1st, 2025, at the age of 92, surrounded by her family. Her death marked the end of an era for the civil rights community, but her legacy continues to inspire future generations. New York City Mayor Eric Adams ordered flags to be flown at half staff in her honor, reflecting the profound impact of her life's work. The NAACP commemorated Dukes as a true warrior for civil rights and social justice, highlighting her unwavering dedication to the cause. Her life serves as a testament to the power of resilience, advocacy, and the enduring fight for equality. Dr. Hazel Nell Dukes' journey from Montgomery, Alabama, to the forefront of the civil rights movement exemplifies a life dedicated to justice and equality. Her contributions have left an indelible mark on society, and her legacy will continue to inspire those who strive for a more equitable world. You're tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us live every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Up next, we have Makia Jones this morning with International Day of Happiness, Reclaiming Rest, Reclaiming Joy. Good morning, Makia.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, KYOK radio listeners. Welcome back to Our Power Radio Show. I missed you all last week, but I am happy to be here today to talk about International Day of Happiness. We're officially a week past daylight savings time, the spring four that somehow always make you feel like you fell flat on your face. And so we just wanted to, in all this grogginess and haze, to bring you back up. Today, I want to remind you that happiness isn't just about those big moments or those rare good days. Sometimes happiness is about rest. It's giving your mind and body what it truly needs, which is a chance to catch up, slow down, and reset. Let me ask you this. When is the last time you took a nap or just took a few moments just for yourself, just to chill out and just be present with yourself? I'm serious. Like, we live in a world where We're grinding 24/7. Everything is always going. You're working, you have children, family, you're stuck in traffic. Like, there's always something going on. When is the last time that you actually sat with yourself? Exactly. Now, me as a proud nap queen, I take naps probably more often, more frequently than the rest, but I need my naps. They're important. If I'm like a toddler, if I don't have a nap, I think my day might be ruined. So it's super important to take time for yourself. So today, on the International Day of Happiness, I'm giving you permission. Actually, I'm challenging you to take care of you. Make time to grab a nap. Make time to listen to some calm, soothing sounds. Make time to actually enjoy your food that you're consuming and not just eat to just get energy and get through the day. Make time to listen to your favorite song and listen to it on repeat. Take care of you. Now, y'all know what I mean when I'm saying about taking time for you. Like, really be present with yourself and release all the stresses and things that you're carrying, because we've been through a lot in these last 3 months, and I can't believe that this year has gone by so fast, or is going by so fast, but we've been through a lot lately. So just take time for yourself, ground yourself, heal, and maybe listen to some sleep sounds. I like to listen to Babbling Brooks. That's my favorite, but you can choose whatever you want to. And just, take time for some self-care. Do your favorite skincare routine. Take a bubble bath. Lay on the couch, get outside and sit on the front porch and just let the sun hit your skin. So time, me time is not a luxury either. It's a necessity, and it looks different for everybody. So maybe, again, maybe your me time is sitting on the porch with a cup of tea or scrolling through your phone without answering any text messages, or unplugging from social media, or reading a good book, or again, like my favorite, taking a nap. So do that, claim it for yourself, schedule it for yourself if you have to, and make sure that on this International Day of Happiness, you're going to just go and just make sure that you're happy, bring some joy to the world, stay motivated, stay hydrated, get your rest, and just be happy. It's a choice. Back to you, Errol.
I won't say anything, but somebody started out with thunderstorms last night, and I don't know how I got over to birds chirping around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to CW Hour Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM in the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on KYOKradio.org. You can listen and subscribe to us every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on KYOKradio.org or on the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Up next, we have the Union Buster of the Week with Timia Wiley. Good morning, Timia.
Good morning, Errol. Good morning, KYOK listeners, union siblings, saints and ain'ts. I say good morning, but sorry, Makia, I am not happy this morning. For 2 weeks in a row, I have to talk to you about a disturbing development that raises serious questions about the future of labor rights and corporate accountability in America. AT&T recently made the announcement that they will be closing two major call centers, one in Jacksonville, Florida, and the other in Birmingham, Alabama. On the surface, this might seem like just another routine business decision, but when you dig just a little deeper and you go beneath the surface, the timing and the locations are hard to ignore. Both of these centers are predominantly staffed by Black and Brown workers, and both have Black area leaders in charge. Now let's ask yourself, could this be a coincidence? Maybe. Or is there something much more troubling at play here? It's hard not to wonder if this is a subtle way for AT&T to trim the so-called, quote unquote, Black jobs from their workforce, all while maintaining a public facade. Facade, facade. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
I got you, girl. Facade.
Facade. Thank you, girl. I'm still not happy though. Of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's talk about the timing here. AT&T CEO John Stankey has close ties to the Trump administration, and we all remember the former president's infamous comment about firing striking employers. Wait a minute, not the former, the latter. Sorry. Well, he was a former president, but he's also the latter president. It's also too perfect to be a coincidence that many of the employees at these call centers were involved in a recent labor strike. Y'all remember when we were talking about them being on strike? These are the same people that were on strike. They are now without
Right.
jobs. Fighting for better wages, better working conditions, and respect for their rights as workers. Could it be that these closures are a form of political payback? Listen, it don't take a rocket science because Lord knows I ain't one. A way for AT&T to silence the voices of Black and Brown workers who dare to make change? That's what it sounds like to me, because the same workers who were on the strike line are now without jobs. Just saying. This isn't just, but remember when someone was campaigning, they said that they would fire striking workers. Just saying. I'm gonna digress because I'm gonna be mad and not, but I'm not gonna choose violence. This isn't just about cost cutting time and time again. It's the centers for full of Black and Brown workers that are on the chopping block, never the executive boardrooms or the suburban customer service hubs. And don't forget, these centers are led by Black managers who understand their community's needs and the people that they serve. Yet, when it's time to make cuts, it's these centers that go first. It raises an important question. Is AT&T decision part of a larger strategy to squash the voices of Black and Brown workers, to make an example out of them, to send a message that if you speak up, if you fight for your rights, there will be consequences? What's especially chilling about this is that both Jacksonville and Birmingham are cities with such rich civil rights histories. It's one of those things that make you go, These closures feel like a slap in the face to communities that have fought long, they have fought hard for justice and equality. Now, those same communities are being hit again, this time by a corporation that claims to care about diversity and inclusion, yet seems to be willing to erase Black and Brown labor when it suits them, or when Black and Brown labor stands up for what they believe in. So, what's the real story here? AT&T is just another business decision, or is it a calculated attack on Black labor? Why these specific centers and why now? These are questions that demand answers. As we wait for a response, the larger question remains, who's next? Which community? Which workers will be sacrificed in the name of profit? This is a moment where we must come together and ask ourselves, how much longer will we allow corporations like AT&T to treat our communities this way? So, AT&T, for throwing your workers and communities under the bus, you are the union buster of the week. So, I ask you folks to keep listening, keep vigilant. We'll be back next week with another company that needs to be called out for anti-worker actions. I hope it won't be AT&T. Errol, back to you.
Thank you so much, Timia. And if you're an AT&T worker wondering what comes next, now is the time to organize. Your power doesn't come from corporate promises, it comes from solidarity. You're listening to CWA Our Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on KYOKradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on KYOKradio.org or your CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power. And Timia's Union Buster of the Week brings us to our next topic of the day. It's talking about casualties of war versus collateral damage. Today we're digging into two words often used in war, but they apply right here at home: casualties of war and collateral damage. And under the current administration, labor rights, human rights, civil rights, women's rights, and LGBTQIA plus rights were either direct targets or treated like acceptable losses. And I hope you all are following me here. So today we break it down, not just what happened, but how it happened. And yes, we got the receipts. All right, so Timia, let's start with labor rights, if you don't mind.
Don't mind if I do. Don't mind if I do. Under the past administration, workers were flat out casualties of war. One of his first moves, appointing Eugene, okay, y'all help me out again, Scalia,
Yeah, that's right.
son of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, as Secretary of Labor. Scalia was known for defending corporations against workers. Scalia slashed worker protections, rolling back safety rules even during the pandemic. OSHA enforcement dropped by nearly 50%. OSHA enforcement dropped by nearly 50%. That means that safety on the jobs for workers dropped by nearly 50%. If that doesn't scare you, what does?
Workplace safety just rolling back like the rivers or something. And you all, those little orders that have been going out, direct attacks on federal workers and their unions. They start with the numbers 13836, 13837, and 13839. They have stripped collective bargaining rights and made it easier to fire public employees. And this was during the former time in office. Makia?
Do you mind if I take that one, Errol? Because
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to choose my words. You know, I got to choose my words because I'm on the air. But the fact is, 5,460 children were separated. And I remember that number because of an ACLU report that just tore my heart apart. Families were destroyed as collateral damage for the so-called zero tolerance immigration policy. It's devastating. And a lot, and children don't come here on their own. 2-year-olds don't come here on their own. We have to be, this is a country that was birthed on immigrants. We have to do better with our immigration policy. I can't quote the Statue of Liberty verbatim, but in my it says something about give us you're tired, you're hungry, you're weak. Or is that another speech? But something like that. Y'all get what I'm saying. Y'all get what I'm saying.
And that's exactly why France is asking for it back, okay? Because you know what? It's like you said, for a country that was built on immigration, a country that celebrates or is supposed to have celebrated brotherhood and togetherness of all different kinds of people, a country, like you said, that was made so that people can have their own freedoms and liberties. That same country that has that fake facade, like you said earlier, like that fake, it's like we're going through an identity crisis. It's like we're not being who we really are, or we're not who we thought we were, if that makes sense. And I know I jumbled it a little bit, but this country.
No, it makes sense. But what else? And I'm gonna, y'all know me, I'm gonna step in and I'm gonna step back. But it just makes me wonder if the immigrants were coming from lighter skin countries, would they be treated this bad? And I'm gonna step back because I don't want to step on their toes. But I'm just saying.
Well, and then we're going to also highlight the Muslim ban called the Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry. That order shut the door on people from seven majority Muslim countries, families separated, people stranded, careers lost. There was a headline, we'll say current administration Muslim ban, a history of legal challenges and human cost. That wasn't a security thing. That was collateral damage in a war on Black and brown immigrants. When we
And
talk
let's talk.
Sorry, I was going to say
I'm
when we talk
sorry.
about that, just listen to how much, how comfortable this current administration is with separating families. You hear about all that's happening. The main thing that stands out to me is we are separating families. We are separating children from their parents. This is not okay.
And that's what brings us to the all of these changes, these surpluses, layoffs, immigration issues. They are considering, to me, people as casualties of war and collateral damage. That's what it appears to me. Because
See,
let's talk about, go
I don't
ahead.
mean to cut you off, but for me, right, when you're saying like casualties of war is collateral damage, for me, I feel like the war is on the people. Like, I feel like there is literally a war that has been waged against the people in a sense. It's because, like you said, it's and I'm not even gonna just stick with just the administration. I'm just like overall, when you look at humanity for what it is right now in this country. And what it has been for the last couple of years, it's been super tumultuous, super confrontational and divisive. And it's a, really a war on humanity. It's a war on respect. It's a war on dignity. It's a war on culture. It's a war on just fairness, right? It's like anything that is put in place or fought or was fought for or made to bring equity amongst people is being stripped away and taken away, or being redacted, or reframed, or refigured, or re you know, we're getting new definitions for things and you know, new terminology for things. And it's like we're in a space where we need to just heal as people. I don't understand why. We're at a time where no one wants anyone to be successful. No one wants anyone to have rights. No one wants anyone to be able to celebrate their cultures. Nobody wants anyone to be able to celebrate the color of their skin. Nobody wants anyone to be able to celebrate the texture of their hair. And it's ridiculous and it's crazy that there's such an issue with people just wanting to be themselves. And it's like that we're turning into a place where we're being indoctrinated to just be one kind of person or only see one kind of thing as acceptable. So for me, it's not even just like collateral damage, it's literally war on people themselves because no one is gonna fit that criteria or that mold that is being pushed on society.
And then we can also tie it into last week when we had a segment on America's on the human rights watch list for the first time, and I don't know when. Our rights are just being stripped away.
Right, which is crazy. As a first, as what they say is one of the best countries in the world and like the greatest countries in the world for us to be in. And you know, again, I wasn't here last week, but I did, you know, send you that so that it can be discussed. And it was just baffling to me that the United States of America, with literally the word "united" is the name of our country, and we're on a human rights watch list. Like that was baffling to me. Like. Our whole country was built on like allyship, right? It's like we wouldn't even, and let's be honest, right? You know, this country literally was governed or owned or whatever by the United Kingdom or Great Britain, whatever you want to call it today. And we wouldn't even be able to have this as a separate country if it wasn't for our allies or other people. That's what's so crazy to me. It's like we've literally, this country has literally been built on collaboration, on togetherness. Like it wouldn't be here without that.
And as we highlight and we talk about this segment today, it just last week, I know you were not here, my kid, but it just reflects back to what we were talking about last week. The country has forgotten that there was a time where this happened already. We already went through this. So it's just disheartening to see that those times are being erased so that we can repeat the same thing. So no one wants to talk about those times because people are trying to repeat those times. There's no reason that any leadership should, their main focus should be attacking human rights or attacking women's rights. There should be that the main focus should be how do we make us as people better? That's the main focus right now, not dividing us even more, not having us feel as if we're not there. There's a certain group of people who are not human. It's just, again, it's disheartening to watch. And I'm surprised that this is happening right now, just openly. We know it was happening, but people are just so comfortable now coming out and saying, this is just who I am and this is just what I believe. And that's fine. That's you can believe that. But it hurts me that you've been around me this whole time and you were not comfortable enough to expose who you really are. You waited for this for you to expose. So it's really disheartening sometimes. But what I want to remind us is, are we really going to let these orders divide us? Are we really going to let all these new attacks divide us? Because eventually we'll need each other again and we'll be meeting in barnyards. So I'm just saying.
And
Yeah.
it is just an ongoing assault on democratic norms. That's what it is. Because if you look at it, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. It's a crackdown on protests. They're looking at, I think, somewhere around 12 or 13 states criminalizing demonstration and even outlawing masks during protests. You got the censorship of journalists. You're putting diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives. You're gutting them, I mean, and you're considering them illegal and immoral. And then you have all of these massive foreign aid contract cuts, and you're severing ties with organizations that have historically supported democracy and labor rights and human rights. And it's not just here in the US, but all across the world. And let's be clear, union brothers, sisters, and siblings, this is union business. Labor rights, civil rights, human rights, they are all connected. And when governments suppress free speech and protest rights and equity initiatives, they are attacking workers, unions, and marginalized communities. If we even just look at women's rights, another front line in this war, the former administration of the current administration slashed Title X funding, cutting off millions of women, especially low income and Black women, from health care and Planned Parenthood. There was a whole article about it on the NPR in 2019. And the fact is, 39% of Title X patients were people of color. Then comes the Supreme Court appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, sealing the deal to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so the results that we have are maternal death rates rose, especially for Black women. Black women are three times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes, per the CDC report on tw in 2022. And go ahead, Timmy, I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. I was just gonna say, if you work in a job, this pertains to you. I don't know why people feel like they don't like what's happening does not apply to them. If you are work, if you cranking up your car on Monday morning or fixing your tea and going into a room in your house and working, all of these cutbacks, all of these restrictions, all of this silencing, it's applying to you. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to get that through their heads. It is it it's becoming 1% against the 99%. We are all suffering here. I think that a lot of people feel like as long as they are better than another group of people, it's not affecting them. It is affecting everybody in America. You're not part of the 1%. And it just pisses me off to the highest level of pissivity that people can't see that it's affecting them. It's going to affect their grandma. It's going to affect their abuela, everybody. This is an American, it is a problem for the American working class.
And I'm glad you said something too. You said people that think they're better than you think that they're better than somebody. And it's like, what are we using? Because this, and I'm saying this to say something else, but because we have this thing about meritocracy and who's qualified and who's unqualified. And it's like, when do we get to a place where somebody can just decide what's better than someone else? Like, what makes you feel like you are in a better position than someone else when you're just a hop, skip, and a half a paycheck away from being outside a part of the unhoused community? What makes you better than someone when you think that because your skin tone is not the same as mine, that you deserve a job more than I do? What makes you think that because you're not in a same-sex marriage, you decide you're more deserving than me? Like, when do we get to this place where you get to decide that you're better because of certain things that have no jurisdiction over the actual subject?
That goes back to the whole that goes so far. That's so entrenched and ingrained into American society. And that goes back to what is, gosh, it was, I don't want to say what.
Colonialism for 1,000 Alex.
Say that again. Colonialism,
Colonialism for
yes,
1,000
by any other
Alex.
name, yes, colonialism, yes, and it goes back to the policing of people on. It goes back to the policing of a group of people, because you had some people that were enslaved, or after they were enslaved, they were then sharecroppers, and then there was another group of people who had a different skin tone, but were sharecropping as well. But they needed them to keep us in our place. So they were giving us a little bit of a higher tier in the social stratosphere. And even though we were both sharecropping, we didn't have we couldn't come together and fight together for better wages way back then. So that's where it comes from. It's ingrained in the American tapestry. But and we have not seen past it since. And it's a doggone shame, as Stevie Wonder would say in his song, that people still cannot see that we work in the same, we go to work, sit beside each other in the same job, cars be broke down the same, and we can't see that we both need the same things, the same basic fundamental things: fair pay, fair and equitable health insurance. We need livable, well, not livable. We need affordable housing. We need upward mobility. We need to be able to buy a house, be able to afford to buy a home. We want to be able to send our kids to good and decent schools, but you can't see that. Meanwhile, we're going to the same job, making the same amount of money, having the same issues. But they
Speaking
don't
of
ask
which,
me.
when we talk about healthcare, and I'm sorry, I saw today on the news that a little girl had to be airlifted in a helicopter to get better pediatric care, right? And it cost $60,000 just for the helicopter ride to save the little girl's life. And America, if we don't do anything else, we need to get this whole healthcare situation under control. Now, I've never been to a helicopter gas station, nor do I know how much it costs for the windshield wipers on a helicopter. However, a $60,000 bill for you to save your kid's life. Like, this is what I'm talking about, and this is, I guess, what Timmy is saying too, when it comes to, like, we have the same issues. I don't know about you all, but I cannot afford a $60,000 bill to save my kid's life. So I sympathize, right, with these parents about, again, fairness and things that make sense in this country. And these are the things that we should be bonding over, because I don't know who can afford a $60,000 bill
to take care of their child or to save their child's life, especially in an emergency. And then that was the whole thing too. Not only was the helicopter ride itself $60,000, the insurance company declined to pay the bill because they said that they needed prior authorization in order to verify, like they needed to verify and have prior authorization for helicopter rides for to get to take the little girl to the next pediatric hospital. And it's like, if you're in an
Wow.
emergency situation, how do you get prior authorization for an emergency? And these are the kinds of loopholes and hurdles that we have to jump through as Americans, as a collective, and we can't unite on things like this. Like, these are the things that we need to be fighting against and fighting for, and we can't come together. But this is what's happening to us. It's like you said to me, like you're no better than I am, right? Like, you may not have the same exact kind of challenges that I go through, but again, there's people out there who can't afford to save their children's lives because they're getting $60,000 bills in the mail. And there's people who can't afford insulin now. And there's people that can't afford to get their car fixed. And like you said, there's people that can't afford to buy a home. And we're all working these same kind of jobs. We're all living in the same society and these same communities together. And for some reason, we can't see that it's set up against us and that it's wrong.
And that's the whole reason why Walmart is popular. That's the whole reason why you got Family Dollars and Dollar Generals popping up everywhere like popcorn in the country. Because guess what? People shop there. So if there wasn't an abundance of people shopping there, that to me tells me that there's a lot of people on the same playing field that are looking for a deal for their families. They're looking for the best deal they can get on groceries, on toiletry items, on clothing, et cetera, et cetera. That means that we are all in the same pot together.
And
Yeah,
I'm glad
why
you
y'all
said
going
that. I haven't
over
purchased
there?
an egg all year, just FYI, for all of the people who just knew that they were going to lower the price, or somebody was going to lower the price of groceries. I haven't purchased one egg all year because it's ridiculous. And I'm just going to leave it at
Right.
that.
Well, I haven't bought anything off of Amazon, and I haven't been to Walmart. I haven't been to Target. I haven't been to Sam's. Need
Well,
I say anything else?
you are doing very well. I have been in
Yeah,
Costco and Aldi. That's where
I've been to
I've been shopping.
Costco.
And the egg, a dozen eggs at Aldi was $5.94, and you can only purchase two at the maximum. And
Do
I'm
you
still
want me to
trying.
ship you some chickens from down here?
Please do. I'm still trying to see how much helicopter
Right.
cost, because I just want to know what the price of a helicopter costs versus $60,000, because that is insane.
And this is, you want to know a crazy thing too, is like, you have these kind of conversations, and I tell people all the time, right? If I'm ever in an emergency situation, Uber me to the hospital. Don't you put me in that ambulance.
I know
And
it.
trying to tell you, please put me on a Lime scooter before you put me in an ambulance, is all I'm gonna tell you. Like, the way that healthcare and the cost of healthcare here in this first world country is crazy to me. And again, these are the things that we need to be coming together and fighting for and stop being divisive about. Because again, I don't know any person, like any regular normal person that I see day to day in my community. I don't know anybody that can literally out of their own pocket afford a $60,000 helicopter ride to save their child's life. When you're put in a situation where your child's life is literally on the line, that is your baby, right? How do you decide that that's, like, why is that even a thing? $60,000? Like, first of all, how do you even feel comfortable putting that on a bill?
Not only that, you got somebody who needs medical attention, and the only thing you can do is get on a computer and type and try to get permission to treat them from an insurance company. I'll flip the whole hospital over. That is ridiculous.
It's a tough situation, and as a parent, it's sad that you even have to make those kind of choices. And again, the changes that are happening, it's hard to watch, to see, to hear stories like that, Mikey. It's hard to hear because now someone, they have their baby, they saved their child, but now here I am having to figure out how are we going to survive after this.
Right. I'm on the brink of poverty now. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so I saved my child's life, and now the insurance company that I paid all year or every year for. I give all my money to, and this is the first time I'm ever going to use it, because let's be honest, we don't always use the full benefits of our insurance, right? I've had health insurance since I was 16 years old. I doubt that I spent as much money as I put into it. I'm just saying. So you put all your money into this insurance, and I'll say this too, when with the insurance companies canceling the policies after those people lost their homes in California, it's just really crazy that we live in a society where certain things are allowed, right? And certain things are not. Like, why are these things even allowed? Like, this shouldn't even be a conversation. This shouldn't be a situation. This shouldn't be relevant. Like, this should not be a thing in any capacity.
Because just like when we were lobbying, you have to follow the money. And I want to digress a little bit. I really won't flip the hospital over, but that's just how I'm feeling. But it's just like with everything else, it's corporate money, corporate greed. Hospitals are owned by corporations, and something needs to be done. And those same corporations are lining the pockets of
Of certain people.
politicians. What were
Of
you
those
saying? Sorry.
1%ers, you're absolutely right. So, our closing thoughts, Union brothers, sisters, and siblings, what you just heard today ain't opinion, it's fact. Under the previous term and this current term, labor women, black and brown folks, and LGBTQIA plus folks were treated like soldiers on the front line and left to die in the crossfire.
And let's not forget people with other abled people and people with illnesses and things like that, and children. And I think that we need to look at that too. We don't under like people always tend to look at politics and government like an adult game, and they never take the time to realize how it affects children and future generations. And that's super important. The closure of the Department of Education, that's going to affect so many children for
Yes.
generations to come. Being separated from your parents at the border, like not only are you a child in a foreign country, but you're away from your parents and your family. Like, do you know what kind of long-term effects and trauma this is going to have on these children? There's so many different the there's so many things that we don't consider when it comes to our children, when it comes to trauma, when it comes to things that these are people, right? And this is what a huge issue that I have just in general with just ageism and reverse ageism or whatever you want to call it in this country, is that we typically categorize people with like by groups and by age and things like that, as if children aren't going to grow up and have to be members of society, or as if children aren't already members of society. And we have to understand that these people are going to be impacted long term by the decisions and the choices that we make today, or by the things that we allow to happen today. If we don't fight to make things better, this is just going to impact our babies in a way that we're not going to be able to fathom or understand, because we're not going to be here. And we need to really think about that and to consider those people.
And Makia, some of us were the target, casualties of war. Some of us were the collateral damage. Either way, our lives were considered expendable.
But our power
But
comes from naming it and fight back.
because none of us are disposable, not then, not now, not never. And as Timia would always say, that's why we organize. That's why we protect each other, because solidarity is our weapon. That's our power. Stay tuned, family. More truth, more action, more power right here on CWA Our Power Radio Show. You're listening to CWA Our Power Radio Show on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power. When we fight, we win. Up next is T with Tay. Good morning, Tay.
Good morning, KYOK family and my union siblings. Welcome to another powerful edition of Tea with Tay, where we sip, we spill, and we uplift the people. So today, our Tea with Tay segment will be about Women's History Month. This month, we're raising our mugs to Women's History Month to celebrate the fierce women who have came before us, the trailblazers fighting for change today. But y'all, let me tell you, while we're celebrating, we're also watching the attacks come harder and faster on women's rights. Let's start with reproductive rights, a basic human right that's being stripped away piece by piece. Across this country, politicians are working overtime trying to control women's bodies. Some states are not only limiting access to abortion, but are also floating laws, I'm sorry, flaunting laws that could penalize unmarried women for making healthcare decisions. How did we get here? Since when did we start allowing politicians to tell our doctors what's best for us? Women should have the right to make their own healthcare decisions free from government interference, period. There's no conversation about that that needs to be had. That's the opening and closing statement. And y'all, it does not stop there. Protection against sexual discrimination are under attack as well. Rolling back decades of hard-fought victories intended to keep women safe, respected in the workplace, school, and beyond that. Meanwhile, there's concerns because we're doing funding cuts. So we're rolling back protections, but we're also doing funding cuts on programs that su support women's health, economic empowerment, safety regulations are being dismantled, but somehow women are still expected to carry the load, work twice as hard, and smile through it all. Let's not forget the economic inequalities. The numbers don't lie. Women still make less than men across the board. That's all women make less than men across the board. But if you're a Black woman or a Latino woman, the gap is even wider. Black women earn 67 cents and Latinos 57 cents for every dollar a white man makes. That's not just unfair. That's generational theft. So how can we catch up if when we start, we're already behind? But y'all, here's where the tea gets sweet, because women out here, they're fighting back. Some major wins deserve to be spotlighted. The US women's national soccer team made history by securing equal pay after years of being underpaid, demonstrating once again that we succeed when women organize and make their voices heard. In states like Michigan, California, Vermont, voters have taken action to protect reproductive rights in their state and their state constitution, showing the nation that people will not sit by idly while politicians try to control our bodies. Now, these are the states that are taking action. I want you to hear that. There are states putting in the work. So that means if you are in a state, you should definitely join and put in that work if you do not agree what's happening in your state. Unions like ours, CWA, are standing firm and negotiating for paid family leave, health care protections, and equal pay. Women in leadership roles are driving the movement, illustrating that organized labor is one of the most powerful tools for fighting back. More women are running for office and winning. For city council to congresswomen, I'm sorry, from city council to Congress, women are securing their seats at the table, advocating for policies and support gender equalities and working families. Young women and workers are spearheading union drives at places like Starbucks, Recreational Equipment, REI, the tech companies declaring, "We deserve better." Demanding it, this new generation isn't waiting for anyone. They're taking the fight into their own hands. And everyone, let's celebrate the record-breaking vote turnout by women in this last election. We stood together in this last election, women. We were together, and we showed up. Women are not backing down. We are organizing, marching, bargaining, and voting. We are building a future where our daughters, our sons, won't have to fight these battles again. And even if they do, we're being the example of what it looks like when we have to fight these battles. We are not backing down. So we honor Women's History Month. Well, while we honor Women's History Month, let's remember the fight is still on. Equal pay for equal work. We deserve to live and work free from discrimination. And most of all, we deserve to be heard. So thank you, family, for tuning in for another segment of Tea with Tay. And to my women, my sisters out there, continue to fight, continue to show up. This is our time. Back to you, Errol.
All right, thank you so much. Shout out to our human rights champions. We want to give a powerful and heartfelt shout out to District 213's very own Nikki Robinson and Ann Vogler for delivering an incredible duo of human rights classes this week. Your passion, knowledge, and commitment to justice lit the room and left an impact that will carry forward in our fight for equity and human rights. Special thanks to Local 2009 in Huntington, West Virginia, Local 2009 President Chad Leggett, and the entire District 213 staff for making that happen. When we come together like this, we're unstoppable. Keep raising your voices. The movement is stronger, all because of you. Well, an hour is not long enough to be with you, and a week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Hour Power Broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights to effect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in your quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow, like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on KYOK 1140 a.m. and the all-new 106.5 KYOKradio.org. See you next week.